Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all that dwell at Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. For these men are not drunk as you think, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17. And it shall come to pass, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants, and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Father, I thank you for your word, and pray that, Lord, you would enlighten hearts, transform minds, renew spirits this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This past week, I've been thinking a lot about last Sunday. Spoken to some of you about it. You said to me, it looked like you were interrupted. It looked like you still had more to say when people started popping up and coming down here to receive salvation. And that's true. I had another 10 minutes to go. I had a whole thing worked up on verse 40. I never got there. Because people responded and they came down. God interrupted me in a way. But I'm finding that when God interrupts you, it's because he's at work. Maybe the first time I can recall this happening, I shared with the Wednesday night crew about 6 months ago. I was teaching at the Gospel Rescue Mission 5 or 6 years ago. And if you've ever taught there, you know that you stand with the front door to your back and the people are out in front of you. And this was maybe my third time there sharing at the Gospel Rescue Mission. I shared there for about 4 years. A lot of fun. Enjoyed it immensely. And I'm sharing and it's the third time and I'm still a little nervous and I'm in my message going through when I hear a rattling at the door behind me. And not sure what to do, I just ignored it. Hopefully they'll just go away. Well, he didn't go away. And in stumbled this guy. He was a CPA, certified public alcoholic. And he got through the door and stumbled in and I looked at him and he, I think, looked at me. Hard to tell. I said, hi. He mumbled something. I said, we're having a Bible study. You want to join with us? Sure, why not? Went over, took a seat. I happened to be talking about addiction at that time. How perfect. And so I kept talking about addiction. And I kept giving him my laser eye, you know. Yeah, you're in the right place now, pal. Well, he took about 30 seconds of that and stood right back up, looked at me and said, I'm not going to listen to this. And then gave a few words that would make a fisherman blush and walked out the door. I don't teach with very many notes. And as he walked out the door, I was lost. I couldn't remember what I was talking about. I didn't know anything other than that guy just cussed at me. I'm teaching a Bible study and he just cussed at me. And so the guys are starting to kind of shuffle and I'm trying to figure out what was I talking about? Where was I at? And I do what I always do when I start to panic during a message. I said, hey, let's pray. Sounds spiritual. It's not. I'm just trying to get myself regrouped. And so I just prayed for this guy. I prayed that God would bless him. I prayed for God's protection upon him. And I prayed until I found my place. And then I said, amen, finished my message. And after I finished that message, the guys, this is only the third time I'd been in there, the guys came up to me and they didn't say anything about my message, but they said, I was so blessed that you would pray for that guy, that you wouldn't get mad at him, that you wouldn't degrade him once he left. They said, because that was me 5 years ago, 5 months ago, 5 days ago. I've done that before. And people didn't treat me that way. They didn't pray God's blessing upon me. They prayed God's wrath upon me. And one guy, I will never forget him. He came up to me as the last guy. He said, hey, preacher. Usually people don't refer to me as preacher. Hey, preacher. I said, yeah. He said, you know what, preacher? For the first time, I'm beginning to think you're not a fake. Well, that's encouraging. I did more work with a 3-minute prayer than with my 60-minute lesson because God interrupted me. Quite often, God's interruptions mean he's at work. And from that time on, I found I had a new rapport with those guys at the Gospel Rescue Mission simply because I prayed for somebody, simply because I got interrupted and was forced to pray for somebody. That's how I felt on Sunday, interrupted. But God was at work. And then, as many of you know, we went over to Riverside Park. A couple of people had said, I'd like to be baptized. And I thought maybe 5-10 people would be baptized. Well, if you were there, we had 50 towels and we ran out. And people brought their own towels. We're trying to figure out how many were baptized. I don't know how many. 60, 70, 80 people. It's a day that, as a young pastor, I'm not going to forget. It was huge in my life. And it reminded me of something, a story that I know pretty well. It reminded me of a story of a young lady who graduated from Florida State University in 1963. And she was searching for answers, as many in that generation were. And she thought the answer, the solution was to go west. And she came out west and she ended up thinking, believing that the answers were could be found in San Francisco. Now, if the answer is in San Francisco, I don't want to know the question. And she got there and she lived just down the corner from Haight and Ashbury Street. She stayed there and it wasn't long before she started to find out, I don't want to know the answer either if it's found in San Francisco. She lived through the Beat Generation. I remember her talking about this musical group that lived down the road from them, led by this she called small-time druggie named Jerry Garcia. She said one of the greatest mysteries to her was how that group ever made it. She lived through the famed 67 Summer of Love there. And she watched it as it left lives shattered and people in worse condition than when they started. And so she left San Francisco, moved north to a place called Sebastopol, where there were these hippie communes taking place. Back to the garden. That's the key. If we get back to the garden, everything will be right. But it wasn't long in this hippie commune that she found the same problems with San Francisco had followed her to this hippie commune, with drugs and alcohol and violence. And it was in the late 1960s that she ended up running into a group of people who would be referred to as Jesus freaks. And they shared with her the gospel. And she received salvation. So much so that when she got married and had her first child, she named that child Christian. She'd go on to have 4 kids. The second son was an incredibly handsome, talented boy. That she would name Matthew Heberly. But I have much to owe to that group of Jesus freaks who shared the Lord with my mom those many years ago. The tradition that I have, the salvation that I experience, really can be tracked back to them. And as I thought about these things this week, to me I see parallels between our time and their time. The 1960s was the first generation that began to experiment openly with drugs. Even as today, while there are statistics showing some drug use going down, if you add up both illegal and legal drug use, it's going through the roof. It's just turned into legal drugs. Same then as it is now. There was technology back then that was changing society. Televisions, for the first time, were available to every family. There was this new drug called birth control where relationships that used to be risky were now, well, free love. Even as technology is changing us today, relationships with instant messaging and chat rooms and the dangers that can happen with those things. Not televisions in every house, but computers in every house. Wireless generation. Nothing wrong with technology, just interesting parallels. Then there was a war that was growing increasingly unpopular. Even as we have a war that is plumbing the depths of unpopularity today. Back then it was a generation that was preceded by unparalleled prosperity. The 50s, the world had never known prosperity like the 50s showed. Even as the 90s, guys that I went to college with graduated and are now millionaires. They were millionaires in a number of 2 or 3 years, moved to the Silicon Valley, started cheesy companies, sold them for millions of dollars. And that prosperity left a generation wondering, that's not the answer. And if you read blogs, and I do, these online personal diaries of people, there is a longing for truth in them. There's got to be something more. There's a hunger, a thirst in this world that reminds me so much of the 60s when there was a hunger and thirst for truth. There's a desire to save the environment back then with hippie shuttles, Volkswagen buses, painted up with flowers and save Mother Earth. Even as today we have ex-Vice President Al Gore making a documentary called The Inconvenient Truth, becoming a surprise bestseller, all about global warming. This summer we had Pat Robertson, the old president of 700 Club, saying, it's so hot here in North Carolina, there's got to be global warming. A concern for the environment. Nothing wrong with any of these things. But I believe it's creating a climate that is primed for revival. And as we read here, as we see this text in verses 14 through 18, it's speaking of revival. And I realize in my own heart, while there's been a stirring and a shaking in me, that it could be related to the events that have taken place in my own personal life over the last 8 months or so. I realize that. Anyone who's been through that, and I've talked to many of you that have, it changes you. It changes your perception. It changes the way you view things. It changes the way you see life. But I wonder, could it be that we're ready? We're ready for something. That was called the Fourth Great Awakening. We call it the Jesus Movement. Are we ready for the Fifth Great Awakening? Are we ready for revival? I certainly hope so. I certainly pray so. And here in our text, Peter quotes from the prophet Joel. And he gives some ingredients of a revival. And I want to look at some of these ingredients this morning very briefly, very quickly. I know it's getting hot. You're saying, but wasn't this fulfilled in Acts chapter 2? Didn't this already take place with the tongues of fire and the rushing wind and the speaking in many tongues? Didn't it already take place 2,000 years ago? Yes and no. On Wednesday nights, we'll study through this passage and we'll see that it's only partially fulfilled. We'll see, as verse 20 says, there's a great notable day of the Lord that's coming. It's future. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. And it's before that great notable day that I agree with many Bible scholars, there will be one of the greatest revivals in world history. And could it be possible, prophetically, that we are nearing that time? It's possible. But a couple of ingredients to keep in mind. A couple of things that no matter if we are or if we're not, valuable for reviving your community, this community, our church. A couple things to note. Number one, I see in these verses. Verse 17, number one, I see a promise. Verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now that's one of the keys why this was not fulfilled 2,000 years ago. Because the spirit was poured about upon only Jews. Only those Jewish people gathered together in the upper room. There's an all flesh outpouring. Gentiles, who are Gentiles? Anyone that's not a Jew. There's going to be both Jews and Gentiles alike a pouring out of God's spirit. In the last days, promise, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. There's a promise. There's coming a day when God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. It's a promise. There are some parents here today that have sons, that have daughters that are wayward. They're not following the Lord like they should. They're not being instructed. They're not showing evidence of the Spirit in their lives. Well, the prophet Joel, Peter would say, there's coming a day when they shall prophesy. It's a promise. And I know there are many parents I've talked to them whose hearts are breaking. I just want to see my son. I just want to see my daughter do well. They've turned aside. They've gone back. They're doing things I wish they hadn't. You would agree with the Apostle John, as he would write in 3 John verse 4, there's no greater joy than to know my children walk in the truth. That's the only thing that I want, to see my kids walking in the truth. There's a promise for you. When this revival comes, they shall walk in the truth. They shall prophesy. Your sons, your daughters. And I am recruiting parents of wayward kids, that you would pray for this revival. Pray for your kids. I want my kids to be revived. I want to see this outpouring of God's Spirit upon all flesh, so my son will begin to walk in the truth, so that my daughter will begin to speak prophetically, will be used by the Lord. Begin to pray. I'm asking you, if you have wayward kids, pray for this revival. Pray this promise. Believe in this promise. It doesn't say they might. It doesn't say they could. It says they shall prophesy. It's a promise. And it works. My grandma used to wonder what happened to my mom. Grew up in Webster Groves, Missouri, a little teeny town. Bible Belt. What happened to her? Living in San Francisco, living on a commune. And so what did she do? She prayed. She prayed. And the rest is history. Pray this promise, parents. I want my child to prophesy. I want your spirit to be poured out upon them. Lord, I'm going to pray this promise because I believe it's going to be true in my generation for my kids. Pray it. First, I see a promise. The second thing I see is a partnership. Thereafter, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, it says, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I see a partnership here. Old men dreaming dreams, young men having visions. Why old men dreaming dreams? Well, as you get older, as you begin to age, you just get tired. You need that afternoon nap. So God is saying, I'll take what I can get. If you're going to be asleep, I'm going to give you a dream. You're going to be dreaming. You're going to be spacing. I'm going to speak to you that way. I mentioned on Wednesday night, there's this study I just read that the average worker wastes 1.86 hours a day. Out of an 8-hour day, they waste almost 2 hours a day spacing off, doing nothing. Unproductive. It's pretty sad. Quarter of your day. And what was classic was they said one of the main things, the main activities, the main ways that people waste time is staring blankly at their computer screen. I've never seen a 16-year-old stare blankly at a computer screen. They're busy. But I'll tell you what. There's many a time I find myself staring blankly at a computer screen. You get older, you start to dream dreams. You start to space off. God says, I'll use that. And your young men will see vision. There's a partnership in there with old and young. Dreaming dreams. A dream is, oh, wouldn't it be great? A vision is, it's going to be great. A dream is a way out there thought. A vision is, this is the way to make that happen. It's old saying, oh man, if I was your age, this is what I'd be doing. And it's young saying, then I'm going to do it. I'm going to get that vision. It's the young getting revved up, but the old bringing reason to that. It's the young having energy for it, but it's the old bringing experience to it. It's the young bringing in instant action attitude. It's the old bringing an intelligent action attitude. It's the combination. You need them all. It's not to be a youth movement. It's not to be a retirement group. It's to be a family, young and old together, a partnership. And I'm so blessed by this congregation that we seem to be modeling that. We're not a youth movement, which surprises me. Looking at myself, I marvel. I tell my wife, I don't know why anyone would come listen to me, let alone, you know, someone from my mom's generation. But I'm so blessed by it because I believe it's the vital ingredients for revival. You need it all. You need a whole family, young and old. You need both aspects. It's a partnership. It's beautiful. We have this group of eight that really steers the vision, steers the dreams of Edgewater Christian Fellowship. We meet twice a week. I'm so blessed by that group because the youngest guy is about 30 years old on that group. And the oldest guy is about 70 years old on that group. We're partnering together. And I've seen such vital wisdom come from that partnership. Not spinning out of control with youth stuff and youth ideas, but not also being stagnant, as can happen when we get older. It's a combination. Excuse me. I guess next time I'll just say, mute it for a second. I think I'd blow some eardrums. I do that anyways. My wife is like, how do you do that? How do you cough so loud? the gift. I see a partnership. Partner up. Young and old together. There's wisdom in that. The book of Proverbs is so full of that kind of instruction. Young men, listen. Solomon would say, as an old man, listen to me. Listen to wisdom. Revival. First a promise. Then a partnership. And then thirdly and finally, I see prophecy. Look at verse 18. And on my servants, and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Promise, partnership, and prophecy. There's coming a time, God says, when I'm going to pour out my spirit upon sons and daughters. They're going to prophesy. Upon servants and handmaids. Doesn't matter about education level or age level. Anyone that wants to serve, male or female, and they shall prophesy. There's coming a time. There's going to be an outpouring of God's Spirit. And there's going to be prophecy. What do I mean by prophecy? There's coming a time when there's going to be prophecy. What do I mean by prophecy? The context is simply this. Acts chapter 2. There's this pouring out of God's Spirit there. There is a rushing wind sound. Tongues of fire come down. And these people begin to speak in known tongues, unknown to them, but known to everybody else. And listen to what they say. Listen to what their words mean. Verse 11. It says in verse 11, the Cretes and Arabians heard them and said, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. What were they talking about? What was this prophesying? It was the wonderful works of God. That's what they were talking about. There's coming a time when people are going to be talking about what God has done in their life. And that's going to be a revival type time. If there's one mark of the Jesus movement, of my mom's generation, it was you couldn't go anywhere without somebody talking to you about the Lord. They're everywhere, the Jesus freaks were. You couldn't go to a concert. You couldn't go to the beach without someone coming up to you and sharing with you Jesus Christ. They were, verse 18, prophesying, speaking of the wonderful things that God had done. I remember hearing the testimony of Mike McIntosh. Perhaps you've heard of him. There in the early 70s, he was in the shopping center in Southern California, and he began to walk through the shopping center, and a guy came up to him and said, hey, brother, have you heard about the Lord? And Mike McIntosh said, listen, I don't want to hear any of that. And brushed him off. He walked about 5 more minutes. A second person came up to him and began to share with him the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, listen, I don't know if this is a conspiracy, but get away from me. He walked a little bit further. A third guy came up and shared with him. A fourth guy, a fifth guy, a sixth guy. And finally the seventh guy, Mike McIntosh said, okay, Lord, I'm listening. I get it. You couldn't go anywhere without people prophesying, speaking about the wonderful things that God was doing in their life, talking about Jesus. It's huge. You want to see a revival happen? Start to prophesy. Talk about Jesus Christ wherever you go. The Bible says, if I be high and lifted up, Jesus says, I'll draw all men unto me. When we're lifting up Jesus, talking about what he did for us on the cross, speaking of the wonderful works of God, there is going to be revival. That was the mark of this church here in the book of Acts. That was the mark of the Jesus freaks. You couldn't get away from them. Just ask Mike McIntosh, now a pastor of one of the largest churches in the United States. Prophecy. Speaking about Jesus Christ. Paul would say in Romans 10, verse 14, how are they going to believe unless somebody shares with them? How are they going to believe unless somebody tells them? They're not. But when we begin to talk about Jesus Christ, begin to lift him up, watch and see the revival that takes place. Twice. The prophet Joel, twice Peter quotes that. There's going to be prophecy. And here's the deal. Whether the stirring I'm feeling is from too much bad seafood or from the Lord is irrelevant on this point. If you begin to share Jesus Christ, if you begin to talk of the wonderful things God has done for you with your neighbors, with the people that you're involved with, this is what will happen in your own life. You'll have a reviving. Look with me at Luke chapter 24, my final verse. Jesus joins with two people that are walking on the road to Emmaus. They don't recognize who he is. He joins with them and he begins to talk to them. And it says in verse 27 of Luke 24. It says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They were talking about Jesus. And they drew nigh into the village where they went. And he made as though he would keep going. But they stopped him, saying, abide with us, for it is the evening is spent. And he went in and tarried with them. And verse 30, it came to pass, as he sat down at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And verse 32, this is the key. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Our hearts burned within us when he opened the scriptures and spoke about who he was, talked about the marvelous things of God, talked about Jesus Christ. You want your own personal revival? I can be wrong. I've been wrong many times. But if you begin to talk about the marvelous things that God has done in your life with other people, if you begin to share of Jesus Christ, like Luke 24, your heart is going to burn within you. You are going to be revived. There is no greater joy that I have than when I get to share Jesus Christ with somebody. It's the most exciting, it's the most fulfilling, it's the most relevant thing I can do. And my heart begins to burn. I'm revived. If we start talking of Jesus Christ, I'm convinced we're going to change Grants Pass, Oregon. If we start praying for our kids, that God's Spirit would be poured out upon them, their lives will be changed. If we start partnering age with youth, energy with experience, there's no stronger force on the planet. I want to see Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 20 come to pass. We can't make it happen. I know that. God has his own timetables. But I know this. We can change Grant's Pass. We pray for his promise when we partner with those that have experience and we begin to speak of the wonderful things that God has done in our lives. Watch and see what takes place. Father, I do pray for this wonderful body that I'm so privileged to be a part of. I pray that we would see revivings in our own heart. that our hearts would burn as we get to share of the marvelous things that you're doing with us and through us and here at this church. I pray, Lord, for wayward sons and daughters this morning. I pray that right now your Spirit would fall upon them, convict them of sin, and bring them to salvation. Lord, I pray for a partnering to take place at even a deeper level in this congregation between youth and age, old and young. And Lord, we pray for revival. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.